This trip was probably one of the most amazing things I've ever been able to experience. And it was really fun, and it was really hard. The hardest day that week for me was Monday, when we worked with the Synergy Project and Woody. When we went to all the homeless camps, it was really hard to see how these people lived and how they were treated. They were forced out of their homes or what they had, and people knew they were back there, and instead of helping them, they forced them to leave and destroyed what little they had. And then Tuesday, we went to the Sunday breakfast mission, where we were helping prepare bags. They call them hope totes. They put like socks and shoelaces and shampoo and conditioner in these bags and give them to the people who came in. And then we also helped to pack these bags for the basketball camp they were getting ready to have. And then we wrapped forks and napkins for the meals so that the people could use them. And we met lots of really nice people that day. And it was really fun. We actually work really good as a team. And then on Wednesday we had a beach day, and we picked up Faith, and it was really cold. And we thought it was going to rain all day, but then it didn't. It was sunny, which is good. And then Thursday, we worked at the Habitat for Humanity. And I'm not really sure what the boys did, but the girls spent all day in the shop stacking bamboo flower pots. We stacked, like, 10,000 of them. Each box had 4,320 flower pots in it, and there were at least 3 boxes of those, so we stacked a lot of flower pots. And then after we worked at Habitat for Humanity, we went to the Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission, where we served dinner to the homeless men in Center City. It was nice to see how appreciative they were, but it was kind of hard to realize that there were so many people that needed this, and so few of them were able to get a meal. And then we did the same thing on Friday, and we cleaned up the church, and we just spent time as a group. And then we went home, and it was a long car ride, and in the car, the van actually had a Bible study. It was really funny, because no one knew how to lead a Bible study, so yeah, it was a good trip. Thank you for your support.
Brooklyn Dillo.
Hello.
That's kind of hard to follow because she basically said everything. But I think the most inspiring thing that we encountered was all the people that we were working for. Lots of the leaders that were running these projects were really inspiring, and they were just so thankful for all the help that we had, and they were just able to tell us all about the organizations and show us all the things that they're doing in their community. And I think that was inspiring to us because we can see what we can be doing in our community, and that it does have outcomes. And so I think a lot of the trip was just meeting inspiring people and just going with that. It was also nice to see how well we worked together as a group. We were able to do a lot of assembly lines. And I think it's also cool because at the Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission, we served 160 meals in 10 minutes. And so that just shows how we were working together. And that was at the end of the week, so I don't know if we could have done that at the beginning of the week. So I think it was just really fun to have each other around and meet these people and also help the other people that we were there to help. So thank you for your support.
Bob Girk. Love the shirt, Bob.
Thanks. All right, so what I learned on this trip was serving people goes a long way, longer than you think. Every little bit counts for anybody that needs help, anything out there. And the trip really showed me back the way to God, because I was shooing away from it a little bit, but it showed me back a long way, and how to really serve people, and how I can bring that back to Decatur and help out Decatur and the homeless here. And yeah.
Felina Herrera.
So the highlight of my week was definitely sitting in on church on Sunday. Many of you probably know that Pastor Chuck had recently been diagnosed with cancer, and throughout the entire sermon, he was talking about how much joy and comfort he's able to find through his suffering because of God. It was definitely inspiring because we all go through a lot of suffering, and maybe it's not as life-threatening, but how much joy and stuff we're able to find through God, and that was probably the highlight of my week.
I really enjoyed going on this trip. It gave me a chance to learn about Philly and bond with my youth group. It was Monday, I think. We went out onto the streets of Philly, and we handed out sandwiches and water to people. It was kind of cruel to see how people have to live like that, and we just pass them by. We don't even think about them. But when we went to the beach, it was a time to relax. Me and Jackson got sunburnt. So, and I found out when we were on the boardwalk. On Thursday, we went to the Sunday Breakfast Mission and made care packages for people on the streets and goodie bags for kids that would be in their basketball program. We went to another Sunday Breakfast Mission and we handed out food to people, and one person said, "Thank you, baby," to me. Kind of made me feel a little weird. I think I really enjoyed getting to spend time with my youth group and getting to know them more. And that was how my trip went.
Lauren Woolery.
This week was a really, or not this week, but the mission trip was a really, it was exciting and it was very educational. I think the most impactful day for me was Monday when we went to homeless camps, and we didn't see anybody there, but then we went to just on the streets in Center City, Philly, and we saw quite a few people. And it was the most like one-on-one contact we had with the people that we were serving. And then it was kind of crazy to know that like we served like 20 or 30 people, and there were like thousands in the area that could have also used help. And then we had a lot of like group bonding and working together. When we went to the Sunday breakfast mission, we were filling up hope totes and making bags and working together a lot. And we had a couple fun days too. We got to tour the city and see some of the historical sites. And then we got to go to the beach. And I've never been in the ocean until that day, and it was a little rough first couple minutes. But we got to work together and bond together a lot this week, and we wouldn't have been able to make it there without your prayers and support, so thank you.
Marina Herrera.
I'd have to say the highlight of my week was definitely going to see with Woody in the woods. And not only just to go, like, see, you actually see people, well, not, we didn't see anyone, but, like, the tents and knowing that people actually do that. It made me realize that, do I do that in Decatur? Do I just, like, if I see someone homeless, you might think, like, oh, they're probably there from drugs or addiction. And it, like, you just carry on and try to make yourself feel less guilty. But it made me also realize, just think if I take the time to stop and talk to them, what it could really be, like, could it make them change or stuff. And so that was like a highlight, and getting to know them more.
Mackenzie Calhoun.
Like, the first day in Philly, on Sunday, we, like, got to see all the historical sites and, like, see what makes Philly, like, such a great city. But then, like, going back the next day, we got to see it, like, from a whole completely different light. And it was just, like, eye-opening to see that, like, people just, like, seep it away. And, like, I do that, too, without even realizing that, like, if you just open your eyes, you can see so many things, like, even if, like, there aren't people just homeless on the streets necessarily in Decatur. Like, you never know what someone is going through. So, and the guy that we were with, Woody, he emphasized that, like, these are humans. They're not just, like, projects to be working on. And so, yeah, it was just really impactful and it opened my eyes.
And Jackson Bacon.
Well, I guess the group pretty much covered all of the stuff that we did, but just the way that we were able to do it was pretty crazy. I think, I don't want to brag, but all of the people that we went to were kind of beaming with they're proud of us, and they were saying that we worked pretty well, which was surprising, I think. But we worked really well together as a team, and we learned that, and over the week, we really grew closer. We've never really gone on a trip or anything like that as this group, I guess. So it was really cool to get to know each other a lot better than we did before. And it was just a really crazy week. We're way out of our comfort zone in another state, in another city, and we were kind of thrust into a lot of situations we wouldn't normally be put in. And I think that was one of the main goals, I guess, of the mission trip. And so we were able to learn how to handle those situations and kind of what's going on. And the people that need help there are, I guess, what we've learned is that people are, like the people that you see on the streets and stuff, they're human, and you need to treat them as such. And so we really learned how to kind of understand and be open to what the problems that they're having in their life. And so it was a very impactful week in that way. And I guess it was an awesome experience, and we were able to kind of learn a few things and strategies that maybe we can do here in Decatur, and maybe we can take on some other missions and I don't know, just impact Decatur in a way that we impacted Philly in a small way. So I think most people said it, but we really do appreciate the support you guys gave us throughout the whole entire fundraising experience. We just honestly couldn't have done it without you guys. So it's a very loving church. I've learned over the years, and a very giving church, and we really thank you for that. So.
All right, God bless you. Have a great week. No, I'm just kidding. So there you have it. A little glimpse into their week. Couple of highlights for me. First, I want to thank the other adult leaders that we had on the trip. She's not here today. She lives in Tennessee, but Amanda Larson, Tom and Teresa's daughter, she did a phenomenal job helping us out. And Michelle Dillo, we could not have done the trip without you. So. In fact, do you want to get up and say a few things? No? You're good? Okay. She didn't want to be in any of the pictures. She didn't want to say anything. All right. I see how it is. I have been on many, many youth trips and many missions trips. And I can honestly say that this group far surpassed and outshined them all. And I'm not just saying that because I'm here. It is true. I knew that they would do well, but I did not expect them to go above and beyond everything that I asked. And everything that that we were asked to do, I wish each and every one of you could have been there to see it. A couple of them said it, but I'll say it again. Almost without fail, every project manager that we worked with either came to me or to Michelle or to the kids themselves and said, "We're running out of work for your kids to do." Because they're doing it so well and so efficiently and so quickly. They organized themselves without having to be told, and all these assembly lines, and especially on Monday when we were on the streets and in the woods. I didn't know how they would react. I didn't know what they would do. But you guys, you amazed me every step of the way. Not only in how you treated each other and how close of a group you became, but in your apparent love for the Lord. You knew why you were there. And you just went and you served Him by serving those that we were serving. So you guys, I am so proud of you. And you had a no-quit attitude all week. And that was, I think, personified in Lauren Woolery and her experience at the beach. I have never seen someone just be brutalized by the waves before. This poor girl, every time she thought that she was going to, like Jackson, Bob, and I, we were out, you know, past the breakers, so we weren't getting pummeled too bad. It was one of the roughest surfs I've ever seen in New Jersey, but Lauren, she kept trying to make it out to where the fun was. and I guess you had fun. I really thought she was going to come out bloodied and a few black eyes, but every time she turned around, which is a mistake, I mean, she just got punched in the back of the head relentlessly by these waves. I don't know how many times I turned around, where's Lauren? And then she'd come up, sputtering out of the water. But, I mean, really, in all seriousness, that was the attitude of the group all week. We had some things that I thought were really going to knock us down. I had some things that really were going to set us back, and they just kept coming. They just kept moving. And it really showed me what this generation is capable of. This is a small sample of their generation, but I think too often they're discounted and set aside. So this morning I just want to spend a few minutes sharing some of my heart for them with you. I'm not going to throw a whole lot of stats and figures at you, but when I first got into youth ministry full-time in 2005, there was a call sent out to churches and to youth pastors because teenagers were leaving the church in droves, abandoning their faith, or feeling abandoned and so walking away from the church. And that was 12 years ago. And at the time, they said that the people that I was studying and listening to, the numbers were, at that point, 12 years ago, we were a 35% Christian nation. And that was dwindling very quickly. They said within the next decade, we would be on our way to becoming a post-Christian nation, much like most of Europe, unless the tide changed, unless students found their way back to the church, because that age group is missing, largely. I read a stat this morning that on average, and this is a conservative estimate, about half of high school students, when they leave to go to college, will never return to church. They're leaving. They're falling through the cracks. And they're not being caught. And so, when I think about that, in our little group, I don't want them to become just another statistic. We have two of them graduated high school, getting ready to move. 50% of them, according to statistics, will never walk back into church again. Bob, it's okay. We love you. And we just... don't leave, all right? I pick on Bob because he picks on me. But in all seriousness, we have to do better. We have to do better. I think for too often we have seen the youth of our church as the future. And that's good. We should. We've thrown all of our resources into that rather than seeing them as what they truly are. And they are the present. They are our current church. And we need to be pouring ourselves into them. And I know that's something we do here fairly well, but I want to challenge you this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. I know we have a fairly small group. But I'm not ashamed to tell you that I can't do the work that is needed alone. I cannot pour myself as needed into all of them. And so I'm asking you to consider what it would look like if you volunteered some time to come and be a part of our youth group, to come and come alongside these students and to disciple them, pour yourself into them. We need you to. I want our youth group to grow. I want us to go out into the community and be a force for change in this area. But it's going to take all of us truly understanding the gifts that we've been given in our students to make a difference. Because I look over there and I know what they're capable of, and I've seen what they do, I've seen the love that they have, I've seen the passion that they have, and I don't want that to dwindle. And so it's something I'm inviting each one of you to pray about. What would it look like to give of yourselves, to give some time to discipling these kids? Because we have a responsibility to raise them up so that they can train the next generation. And it's a big job. More students are leaving the church than ever before. And on top of that, students are just not coming to begin with. We're not connecting anymore with the current generation. And there are countless reasons why that may be. I'm not here to try to figure that out today. But I know that though we're a small church, we can create a huge and lasting impact in our society, in our community. Because we have the Lord on our side. And if we truly tap into that, if we truly accept that for all that it is, we can do amazing things together. It takes each one of us being willing to step out in faith and say, all right, today's the day that I'm going to be a change in somebody's life. I'm going to show Jesus to everyone around me who will listen. And if we all do that together, change will come. One of the greatest areas of concern that I have is college students, first-year college students. The transition between high school and college is where we are losing youth left and right. Students who have dedicated their lives to the Lord, I've read so many stories, who get to college, they go to secular schools because they want to be in the mission field, and that mission field ends up convincing them to turn away. Because often they leave and they don't feel the support of their home church. They don't plug in with the church when they get there. And they're alone and they're not prepared for the arguments that they face in the real world. And so that's something that I have really been convicted of lately, is I want to start preparing them for the arguments that they'll hear out in the real world. There are some good arguments that well, they sound good on the surface, that would seek to convince us that God is a lie, that our faith is a sham and foolish. And unfortunately, it's dressed up in such a way that it's attractive. But I know that because we have the ultimate truth, we won't fail. But we've got to do better. So I just want to read a few passages of Scripture today that the Lord laid on my heart. I believe that as we were called in the Great Commission, that we are to go to every corner of the earth preaching the gospel. But as I was talking to the kids on the trip, and what we kept coming back to is, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to leave this country. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to leave our town, because the mission field is right here in our backyard. There are thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of hurting people right outside our door. There are so many people who go to bed at night wondering what the point of life is and what the point of waking up the next morning will be. There are students and youth who go to bed with no one to care for them, with no one to love them, with no one to guide them. We can be a part of leading them home. That's what we're called to do. And in Isaiah 43, verse 4, the Lord said, "Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and named and made." Lead those out who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and apart from me there is no Savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. Yes, and from ancient days, I am he. No one can deliver you out of my hand. And think with that in mind, we should be fearless. We should be fearless and go and proclaim this news to anyone who will listen. Too often I come on Sunday morning and I talk about this stuff with the youth and I read about it, I study it during the week, and then I go home. And I forget about it. I allow it to just kind of leave my consciousness until I come back to church on Sunday and, oh yeah, I should probably talk about it again. But one thing that we're going to be doing as a youth group, as a youth ministry, is continuing the work that we did in Philadelphia as far as homeless outreach and spending time studying and finding out what we can do here and then going and doing it. Relieving the hurt, but also showing the love of Christ wherever we go. And that's something that as a church we need to be doing together, all of us, so that we can teach the next generation what it is to serve, what it is to be the hands and feet of Christ. I just have a few more thoughts. 1 John 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning, and no one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him." Moving on down to verse 11, it says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth." So to tie it all together, our mission field is right here, in our homes, in our schools, on our streets. There is a correlation between the children and the youth leaving our churches and the hurting and the homeless on the street. They've all been given to us as an opportunity to share the love of Christ. My prayer is for our church, for the church as a whole across the world, that we would accept that invitation, that we would unite as never before and go and do what is needed. There's so much pain. There's so much hurt. And for too long, it has been an us versus the world mentality. That has to stop. Because Christ called us to go out into the world and bring them in. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but the more I talk, the more I think I need to. There's a song that I've been listening to for years called Tears of the Saints. And it sums up better than I can what I've been trying to get across to you. We are called to lead the world to Christ. We are called to lead them home. And so to close the sermon this morning, I'll sing that song to you, and I pray that God speaks to you through it. And after that song, I'll call up the praise team and we'll sing our final song. This morning, if you want to recommit yourselves to this calling, you should come up and we have people who will pray with you and guide you through that. If you've never made the commitment to know Jesus Christ, I invite you to do so this morning. Because He will change your life. He will turn your world upside down and provide you with a joy and a hope that you never thought possible. So this morning, no matter where you are in your life's journey, whether you've known Jesus for your entire life or this is your first encounter with Him, I pray that this service has spoken to you, and I pray that the Lord has met with you this morning. This song is called Tears of the Saints.